Host your holiday party at Apex Entertainment this year. Book early and save. Receive a $15 Apex gift card for each guest with holiday parties booked before October 1st. With flexible event space, attractions, and customizable menus, Apex is the perfect holiday party destination. For more information, contact the sales team or go to apexentertainment.com.
B-Pod Studios.
They're Boston's number one afternoon show.
The most powerful sports radio show in New England.
America's number one afternoon sports show.
Yeah, but we're the biggest.
And number one in your heart.
And I just came here to help your ratings.
Sorry, John. Thank you. Don't need it.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Yeah, Bill, question about Justin Herbert. I'm just wondering, did you guys do any work on him before the draft last year? And in either way, did you have any idea that he'd be good this early? Like, what's made him so successful so early in his career?
Because he's really good. Yeah, he's really good. I thought he was outstanding. Just really had everything you're looking for. He's very athletic, good arm, a lot of poise. Played well in Oregon. Had just a number of big plays, all the passes, all the throws, but extended plays, scrambles. Could run the read zone and all that. I mean, he's as good a quarterback as I've seen come out here in quite a while, especially as it fits the pro game. And I don't think you're going to find too many better than him. This guy's really, really an impressive player. I thought he was really good when we played him last year, and luckily we had a pretty good day. I'm not counting on that again. I have a ton of respect for him. I think he's going to be one of the top quarterbacks in the league for a long time to come.
That's Bill Belichick yesterday on Justin Herbert. Greg Bedard, big boy from the Boston Sports Journal. When you hear him say that, what do you think?
I think it's a little disingenuous. I mean, nobody really thought that Herbert was going to be what he is now coming out of school. And we have learned since that it was the Oregon scheme. Oregon was limiting Justin Herbert. And the other thing is, I'm sorry, did the Patriots have a quarterback going into the 2020 season? Could they have used one? Did they have draft picks, perhaps players they could have used to trade up?
That would be admitting, though, that the quarterback matters.
Right, and that you'd actually want to spend money on a quarterback.
Exactly.
He's too costly, too talented. We're good.
So what you're saying here, Greg, is that if Bill was so high on the kid, why didn't you do more at that draft last year to go get him? Is that a realistic statement? I mean, I'm with you. I love it. I'd love to mine this take. Is it realistic, though? I mean, he went 6, and the Patriots were sitting where? What was their exact draft position? I'm just trying to look it up.
So they were at right 23. Now. They had 23, which they traded down, and then they got Duggar.
Okay, so they traded out of 23. So they were sitting at 23. Herbert goes at 6. Is it realistic to say, well, Bill, if you liked him so much, why don't you go get him? Is that fair?
Hell yeah.
All right, well, let's go with it anyway. Go ahead.
Hell yeah. I'll tell you the other thing. It occurred to me as you were saying it. Maybe sticking it to Miami a little, too. You know, like, you idiots.
Oh, yeah.
You idiots. That kid was sitting there and you took Tua, you morons. Like, maybe sticking it to the Dolphins a little, too. I'm just throwing that out there.
You know, I mean, you could stick it to a lot of the teams, I guess. I don't know. The Lions draft a corner with the 3rd overall pick. Okuda, how's he been? I don't know. I don't keep track of the Lions corners. I mean, how impactful could he really be? Do you like Andrew Thomas to tackle with the Giants?
It's okay.
Okay, well, they had their quarterback by then anyway. I don't know
Daniel Jones, yeah. Sure.
I mean, there's other teams to second guess with that one, but continue, Greg. Continue.
Well, I just think that, look, we all knew that the Patriots were desperate for a quarterback, or they needed a quarterback, unless you were under the illusion that Jared Stidham was going to be the guy for 2020. And, look, probably going up to where they needed to go, they would have had to have jumped the Chargers. Dolphins might have played ball, but they had, they needed to at least get into the middle of the round. Like, no team's going to drop down to 23 if they're giving up a quarterback. They're not going to do that. So they would have to find a sort of middle ground to jump up to. But, look, you look at what the Patriots had at that time, 23 plus Joe Tooney. You could have traded him. And look at the rest of their draft. I mean, you know, Uche, Jennings, Asiasi, Keen, and Rohrwasser were their top, you know, top five rounds.
So they trade down again. Duggar at 37, Uche at 60, both in the second round. Three third-round picks.
Trade up for those, by the way.
Trade up for both those seconds?
For, well, no, not Jennings, but Asiasi and Keen, they traded.
Well, I didn't even mention them yet. The three third-round picks were Anthony Jennings, Devin Asiasi, Dalton Keen. Those were the three picks they made in the third round.
Yeah, well done.
And again, as Greg said, moving back up.
Yeah, I would have started with, we'll give you our first this year, first next year, and Joe Tooney, and see where that went. And then if they wanted more, I just would have kept upping it. If you thought Justin Herbert was, look, at this point in time, to me, he's the best pocket-ish quarterback rookie that I've seen, or, you know, second-year player now, since Marino. I mean, he's that good. He's unbelievable. He really is.
So you can play that game, or you can just sit there and say, well, what if they just sat there versus the trading down for value thing? Kenneth Murray, the linebacker, who you're going to see this year, or this week, excuse me, this week. What's he, Greg? He good?
Pretty good. Yep.
Okay. Cesar Ruiz, the center there in New Orleans. Good player, right?
Yep.
Okay, he went the next pick. Brandon Ayuk, the receiver there in San Francisco, went the pick after that. You like Patrick Queen, the linebacker in Baltimore?
Yeah.
Little guy.
Decent amount. Yeah, little guy.
Little guy. You know anything about Isaiah Wilson, the tackle in Tennessee?
Pretty good.
Clyde, Edwards-Helaire there in Kansas City, went 32. You can play that game. Like, I enjoyed playing that game.
Oh, Wilson was the guy who flipped out.
Isaiah Wilson.
He was the
guy who went AWOL.
Okay, yeah. So, all right, good miss there. Good miss there. But either way, here we go. Justin Herbert and the L.A. Chargers. And Greg Bedard is here for the next 2 hours. Greg Bedard is brought to you by the Granite Group. The Granite Group is an award-winning distributor of Mitsubishi Electric's heating and air conditioning systems with locations across Massachusetts and New England. Learn more at customizedcomfort.com. He's here for the next 2 hours, so we'll take your football calls for the next 2 hours at 617-779-0985. Jimmy, if you're ready back there, if you could please release the hounds for Greg Bedard. Greg, what do you think the state of the team is right here?
I think it's pretty good. I think that they I thought that they gained confidence on Sunday. I'm told that they already had confidence. I mean, that's what I'm hearing from people in the building. Especially, I think, offensively, they are gaining by the week. I think the thing that I took away from Sunday's game the most was that the offensive execution was better. And I don't care who you play. If you execute, then you're going to be productive. And this offense has started to be productive. I think, you'll have to check my math on this, but I think they've scored in the red zone 11 out of 13 times in the last, I don't know, two and a half, three games. So they're making progress there. And so I think the offense is getting better. I think Jones is getting better. I think certainly Harris in the offensive line. I think the offensive line is stabilized with Karras at left guard and Owenu at right tackle. And so I think they should go out there. Now, look, the whole Jonathan Jones, Devin McCourty injury stuff is definitely worrisome. But I think the Chargers are a little bit overrated, and I think the Patriots should have some swag going out there, and I think they believe that they can come out with a victory out there.
Okay, so I'm not going to besmirch your reporting or anything like that. I think that the confidence thing is something they're putting out there because they know they lack it, and maybe it's just the wrong word that I'm arguing people with. Maybe it's morale. It's something like that, Greg. And I think it's a purposeful thing that they're putting out there, and that Bill made a point to push back on after the game. I think the way they managed this game on Saturday, they managed it like a team that needed a boost. So whether that's confidence or morale or something, I think that's something they're cognizant of, which is, you know, it really shouldn't be that big of an argument. They were 2-4. And so losing teams have some little issues in there. And I think Bill's cognizant of them. I don't know if you heard Bert Breer report this a couple times over the weekend, Jimmy. If you could play the first one. Bert Breer on the NBC Sports Boston pregame show. This was pregame. This was before the Jets game, before they went out and, you know, hung 54 on the Jets. Here's Bert Breer on what he was hearing inside the walls at Gillette. Go ahead, Jim.
Well, I think listening to what Devin McCourty said last week, you can kind of see it. Normally, these things that get taken care of but behind closed doors. But seeing Devin McCourty publicly talk about the state of the team, I think at least set off some alarm bells down there. And there is a feeling that I've gotten from some people, from some newcomers coming into the team, that maybe it wasn't as tight an operation as they expected it to be. And I think the question is going to become now whether some of the older guys who aren't what they were on the field, guys like Dante Hightower, Devin McCourty, Kyle Van Noy, are able to get through to the younger guys. I think we've seen some of these things show up with some of the penalties of sloppiness. You know, you've had delayed game penalties. You had 10 guys on the field for one of the bad defensive plays earlier in the year. You know, you've obviously had a couple of blocked punts. So I think the details are kind of what slipped here. And this is going to be a really interesting Sunday from that perspective, Amina, because I think the old Patriots would go into this game coming off of a loss like last week's loss to Dallas, where there was a lot of sloppiness, and they would blow doors off a team like the Jets. Are they going to be able to do that today? Because this is the last like real layup for a little while behind this Jets game. They got the Browns, the Chargers, and the Panthers, all teams that I think you could say have more talented rosters than they did.
Okay, so that was before the game, and they did respond and blow doors against the Jets for sure. But he was referencing the post-game comments from McCourty after mm-hmm. Dallas, which I think were telling.
Yep.
Which I think had a definite undercurrent of second guessing the coaching or whatever. Again, I can't put my finger on the right word, but it's some form of intangible there. Burt said alarm bells inside the building, and I think this is, I don't know, your thought on that.
Yeah, I think that, and I think we talked about it last week. Devin's comments after that game where he questioned the coaching, he was basically saying like Kellen Moore was better than our defensive coordinators on some of the play calls, and also he talked about personnel. You'd rather have an extra DB. I think there, when you talk about some of the leadership on the defense, I think the offense is entirely different. I think it's separate. It's younger. It's newer. I don't think they have any morale problems over there. The defense, though, I think that there were some interior sort of questioning of what's going on. I mean, the Gilmore trade, what's going on with the coaching as far as Steven Belichick and Gerard Mayo. And I got to tell you, I watched Bill a lot this past Sunday on the sideline. He barely looked at the offense this week. And that, look, that's not highly unusual. He doesn't invest much into the offense. He basically sort of oversees everything. But he was, between periods, those photos of the defense, he was devouring them like they were the Playboy Playmate collection. Like, I mean, he was all over them every single series while the offense was on the field. And things were much more buttoned up. And I don't know how much things changed, but they are doing something defensively that's different as far as the mechanisms. And I think that it was in reaction to some of the things they're hearing from some of the leadership on that defense.
I mean, they got torched in the Dallas game. They got torched. And so, when you say you're searching for the word, he was losing them. He was losing them. Those guys were checking out one way or the other. Somehow, maybe McCourty was. Maybe Hightower's not the leader he used to be because he's probably half invested. He's making a lot of money. I know he didn't play this week because of injury, allegedly. But he hasn't been the same player. And maybe Bill felt like, I'm losing these guys. I got to be careful here.
Well, I think 3rd and 25 was sort of
the
moment.
Tipping point.
It had to have been. I mean, and Devin, that was one of the play calls that he was, you know, it was that and the final touchdown where he's just like, you know, we were in a tough call for that. You know, part of calling plays is anticipating what the offense is going to do. And for them to call, and we went over it last week, the cover one robber on 3rd and 25.
Brutal.
Was just ridiculous. And I think that was the reckoning for everyone. That it was like, all right, enough's enough. Let's get our stuff together or else this season is just going away. And I give them credit. They got their stuff together this weekend. Now, can they start to stack success? Can they do it against a real NFL offense and a real NFL quarterback this Sunday in LA? And once they do that, then we can start to take this team seriously.
Well, let's take some calls for Bedard. Also, the NFL trade deadline, a week from right now, a week from today. Hopefully, it's one of those 4 o'clock deadlines right during our show.
Yeah, it should be.
Okay, so trade deadline is a week from today. Issues there. Where should the Patriots be involved? Will they be involved? That'll be on the table as well. But your calls with Greg at 617-779-0985 right after this.
Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub and streaming anywhere you go on the Sports Hub app.
when life calls for cannabis, get it delivered from LanternNow.com. Lantern brings Boston's best cannabis to you, so you can spend game day in front of the TV and not going to the dispensary. I use Lantern because I can shop from Boston's best dispensaries and get my products delivered the same day I order. Even better, Lantern Now delivers to all of Boston and beyond, so you can skip the trip, the traffic, and the line to spend your time your way. Get started at LanternNow.com/gym and follow at GetLanternNow on socials to stay up to date on all things cannabis.
Please consume responsibly. This product may cause impairment and may be habit forming. There may be health risks associated with consumption of this product. This product has not been analyzed or approved by the Food and Drug Administration. There is limited information on the side effects of using this product, and there may be associated health risks. Marijuana use during pregnancy and breastfeeding may pose potential harms. It is against the law to drive or operate machinery when under the influence of this product. Keep this product away from children. There may be health risks associated with consumption of this product. Marijuana can impair concentration, coordination, and judgment. The impairment effects of edible marijuana may be delayed by 2 hours or more. In case of accidental ingestion, contact Poison Control Hotline at 1-800-222-1222 or 911. This product may be illegal outside of Massachusetts.
What do you want to talk about?
Mike in Framingham, what?
Felger and Mass.
Hey, I love your show. I don't agree with anything you guys ever say, though.
More Felger and Mass on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Winning big at home the way we supposed to win.
Yeah. You look good, too, man. You look real good. You look good.
Oh, man, thank you.
What's up, Toe Tap?
All right, fellas, here's a really good chance for us to start believing in some of the stuff we're doing. I mean, don't turn the ball over. It's a good place to start. Mm-hmm. All right. Score on 9 of 10 possessions offensively. Yock, stiff arming. All right, making plays in a passing game. All right, defensively, turn the ball over. Getting vertical in the pocket. Knocking a ball out of there. It's a great fumble at the end of the game. Just keep playing. Fellas, yeah. Cody, 5 tackles. Yeah. I'm just telling you, one day at a time, keep stringing them together. You can see the results of it. You just got to keep stacking them together. Come on, it's going to be a tough week now, and they're playing pretty good. Okay? So it's a damn good job of bouncing back.
Check in the post-game locker room, the victory scene that they put up online on Patriots.com. Just like that line, the very first thing that he said to him or that they put on the clip, really good chance for us to start believing in some of the things that we're doing. And I think that's just sort of where they're at, where they're sort of at. So whether that's confidence or morale or buy-in, whatever it is, there's something in there that Bill's working on. And that makes perfect sense. That's what happens when you're 2-4 and you're not quite sure just what you are. When you've had, you've played close against some good teams and lost. So what are you? Are a good team? Or you a loser? Like, so it's, I just don't think it's all that unique, but I think that's where the Patriots are. And I think that came through. I think it's come through the cracks. If you read between the lines, and I think it totally comes through in the way they played, Greg. I think Bill wanted a 50 spot on the board to put some wind at their sails.
He definitely wanted a 50 spot for something. I mean, play action pass with Brian Hoyer with 3 minutes left in the game. Are you freaking kidding me?
I mean, insane, right?
I mean, he was after something. The reason, I don't know. But I do think that there are at least some players on the defense, and Devin McCourty leading the way, that sort of looked at things when, you know, they're not getting stops, any stops late in games where they used to get stops. And they're looking around at the coaching staff and just being like, "What? You know, why am I believing in this? You know, nothing's really working." And for stuff to work for one game, I think they feel better about that. Now go do it against a real NFL offense.
Exactly.
And we'll see what happens.
All right, to your calls here, as promised. Billy's in the car. Go ahead, Billy.
Hi, guys. First time call, long time listener.
Welcome.
Greg, love the show.
Thanks.
Love everything you say. And what do you think about the pass rush? Can they really affect him this week? What do you think about that?
Yeah, what pass rush is what I would say, but go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, Matthew Judon and who? Look, I don't think the Chargers have Rashawn Slater, the left tackle, the rookie left tackle. Boy, is that guy good. He is really good, you know. So I assume Josh Uche is just going to – they're just going to throw him to Slater and let Judon work against the weaker right tackle. But – not a great offensive line out of the Chargers. I think that Barmore is coming on week by week, and they need to turn him loose even more. because he is one of the few impact players in that front seven. It was basically him and Judon at this point. And I am more worried about the coverage. You know, how are they going to match up with Mike Williams and Keenan Allen and, you know, Austin Eckler? And, I mean, you know, it just goes on and on with those guys. You know, Jared Cook at tight end. There's a lot to deal with there, and it'll be interesting to see how they play Herbert because, as Bill alluded to, he is really a classic pocket passer, but he can run, and he is a big dude. So he presents a lot of problems for a defense.
You got to win the game on the other side of the ball.
Absolutely.
You got to run the ball, keep the ball. Like, you know, you're going to have to score, too. I mean, but you're going to have to win the game with your offense this week.
And you got
to
hope that the Chargers do Charger things.
Yes. Right, that's right.
Which I'm not convinced they're past. You know, just the stench of that team, that franchise, and it was all the way through last year as well. And so that's also something you got to bank on. We've got Mark in Easton. Hi, Mark.
How you doing, Feather? I know everyone's excited because we beat the Jets, which is ridiculous. The team's 0-5, as far as I'm concerned. They beat the Jets twice with a rookie quarterback, rookie head coach, and then a backup. So that doesn't count. And then they should have lost to Houston a couple weeks ago. They went. They got all they can handle from a team that can't score more than 10 points against anyone else. This team is not good. And I would say they should sell at the deadline, but we have no one to get rid of.
Okay, I'm just going
to
stop you.
Maz, run to the bathroom, make that call?
Yeah, speaking to the phone, Mark. I just disagree with the first thing that you said. Everyone's all excited that they beat the Jets on Sunday. Not everyone. The Felger Maz program isn't all that excited.
Oh, definitely not.
There's plenty of Patriots Twitter that's all a flutter about Sunday.
Jeez. A low bar out there, guys?
Mm-hmm.
Or what?
Well, Mike.
Go ahead.
Consider this. Since they beat the Chargers out in L.A. last year, December 6th, they have 4 wins. 3 against the Jets, 1 against the Texans. That's it. That's all they've done. You know, I am not going to believe, not that I don't think that they're going to play ball. I've said this. My stance has not changed. I have said it's going to take until the second half of the season for this offense to really take hold. Can the defense win them games? Can they stay above water until that happens? That question is still in doubt. A win this week, a win against the Panthers. All right, now you're cooking with gas. I still think, and I went through this for my column on Sunday, about, you know, the sort of the path to the playoffs. You know, the Chargers game, in my opinion, doesn't mean a lot. The Panthers certainly doesn't because it's an NFC game. The Browns game here is basically good. It could be the season.
Okay, well, can I just stop you? To me, don't you think they have to get to 10 wins?
Yes.
Here's how I look at it, and I know I said I'm not doing
path 9-8 maybe, but yeah.
I mean, outside shot at 9-8, you know, if you're lucky. I mean, the way it looks right now, 9-8 might do it, but I wouldn't bank on that. Let's just say 10. So to get to 10 wins, they need to go 7-3 the rest of the way. Right? You got the Bills twice, and you got the Titans. Okay? Never mind a bunch of other. So it's like, if you don't think they match up with Buffalo and those are losses, and the Titans, let's just say, is a loss right now, you got to run the table.
Right.
So it's like, and we can play with it in different ways, but to me, if I'm playing this game, the path game, I'm assuming the Bills games are losses and that Tennessee's a loss. Well, then you got to run the table. They're all important.
Yeah, you got to win this game this week. Like, you know, to me, you got to build momentum too for them. Like, you know, they can't go this week-to-week thing where anything Bill built this past week against the Jets. If you go out to the Chargers and get your asses kicked, well, then you lose it. You go right back to where you were. And, you know, the Chargers, see, I don't know if the Chargers are overrated or not, Greg. You made that point a little while ago. But I do look at them and say they're pretty good. And you're going, they're coming off a bye, and the week before they get their asses kicked. I would hope that the Chargers are going to be ready to go this Sunday if I'm a Chargers fan. The point is, I think the challenge is legit. If you're the Patriots, go out there and beat the Chargers. Start there.
I think 9-8 is going to be the final spot.
You do.
AFC. And that's why I think that if you're the Patriots, you know, that the Titans, the Colts, and the Browns are on your radar. You're probably going to be tied with the South loser, probably the Colts.
Yep.
And then the Browns, because it's the Bengals and the Ravens.
Right.
So it's pretty much 10-7, 9-8. And if you're in a three-way tie with those two teams, the Browns and the Colts, say, and you sweep them, then you go. So okay. I think those games, I just think they're more important.
Not to do too much of this on the air because the popsicle headache's already starting. I think the Chargers are the one are one team ahead. You're a game behind the Chargers for the last spot.
Beat the Chargers. Start there.
Okay.
They definitely need to play. They need to have a really good showing this week. That's for sure.
Liz in Michigan. Hi, Liz.
Hi. Quick question. This is about Steve and Mayo. Do you think they're paid the same, or please speculate, which one's making more money?
Okay, you mean Steve Belichick or Gerard Mayo?
Exactly.
Okay, I bet on paper, if they compared each other's paychecks, it might be the same. When the kid gets home, I don't know. Like, how do you control that? I mean, you tell me.
Oh, Venmo.
Yes, seriously, exactly.
He's getting all kinds of bonuses via Venmo.
There's an envelope on the kitchen table when the kid gets home.
Definitely.
And that's not, you know, so, I mean, I don't know. It feels clear to me Bill pushes Steven Belichick ahead of Gerard Mayo, or that's been the case this year. Again, people have told me that they keep pointing this out on the broadcast, that they make sure to point out that Steven Belichick's the defensive play caller when they go through the lineups.
And you don't hear much about Mayo during the telecast.
Nothing.
Okay, so that's a quid pro quo with Bill in those production meetings, and they're doing his bidding. He's pumping up his kid. So does that reflect in the paycheck? Probably somewhere down the line.
Or the networks are trying to grease Bill a little bit. There could be some of that, where they're like, oh, well, we'll be really nice to Bill's kids, and that means Bill might be a little bit nice.
To me, it's just not a fluke. It's not a random occurrence. There's a reason they're pumping up Steven Belichick on the broadcast.
If I'm Mayo, I'm pissed at that. I am pissed at that, but I'll hold the thought
further.
Well, it's not.
Trust me, Gerard Mayo and his camp has been out there pushing him. I mean, did you that Houston like expose that he was like the first candidate that they outlined in the Houston Chronicle last year for the job? That wasn't by accident. So Gerard is looking for a job.
Okay, three up, three down with the big boy coming up after Murray's update.
Curious about legal cannabis? Visit Garden Remedies dispensaries in Newton, Melrose, and Marlboro to discover the cutting edge of modern wellness. The first woman-founded cannabis dispensary in Massachusetts, Garden Remedies grows and produces all its own products. Try Garden Remedies' own spooky spicy gummies. Whatever you do, don't eat it alone. So go see what's growing at Garden Remedies in Newton, Melrose, and Marlboro, or visit GardenRemedies.com.
Please consume responsibly. This product may cause impairment and may be habit-forming. There may be health risks associated with consumption of this product. This product has not been analyzed or approved by the Food and Drug Administration. There is limited information on the side effects of using this product, and there may be associated health risks. Marijuana use during pregnancy and breastfeeding may pose potential harms. It is against the law to drive or operate machinery when under the influence of this product. Keep this product away from children. There may be health risks associated with the consumption of this product. Marijuana can impair concentration, coordination, and judgment. The impairment effects of edible marijuana may be delayed by 2 hours or more. In case of accidental ingestion, contact Poison Control Hotline at 1-800-222-1222 or 911. This product may be illegal outside of Massachusetts. Massachusetts state license number MR281495.
Oh, he is a manipulative weasel.
And Matt.
He does himself no service by actually talking.
You've got to listen to Believe.
It's about me.
Yes, absolutely.
It's about me.
No question.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
And now, it's time for three.
Jones with time. Throwing the deep ball down the left side.
What a throw.
Three down.
This is one of the worst throws he's had.
With Greg Bedard from BostonSportsJournal.com. Three up.
Bucks win. Bucks win. Bucks win the Super Bowl. And then the Cannons go.
Cannon.
Fire them. Keep on firing them.
Three down.
He sucks.
He blows.
On Belger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, it's our weekly look at the film. It's a segment so popular, it's been sold. It's now time for Three Up, Three Down with Greg Bedard, presented by Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey. Have I pronounced that right? I should have looked at it.
Alcohol. I like it.
Yeah, you pronounced it correctly. Tullamore Dew.
Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey. Enjoy the game with a triple distilled, triple cask matured, and triple blended Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey. Game time. Tully time. Please drink responsibly. Again, triple distilled, triple cask matured, and triple blended. Suck on that, why don't you? Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey brings you three up, three down.
Yeah, you know what I heard, Felger?
What'd you hear?
I heard they mandated that I get to speak about the offensive line as much as I want.
Well, it's your deal, so number one up. Go ahead, give it to me.
Number one up was the offensive line as a whole.
There it is.
It was better. I like this line combination. Ted Karras brings some toughness. Shaq Mason and Onwenu on the right side are very, very powerful. I really like this group.
Damian Harris. I thought Harris was terrific in this game. He's been their best player the last couple of weeks.
You want to chime in there, Murray, or no?
I do, just quickly in that. So it does feel like Onwenu is the answer there at right tackle. So yep. What do they do with Trent Brown when he comes back?
I think he possibly gets into the mix at left tackle, but I think they're at the point now that they're not banking on Trent Brown coming back.
Oh, they're moving on then, you mean?
No, I just mean that.
It's a really bad injury.
No, it's just this has been going on for 2 years. Yeah, I mean, he almost got back, and then he's not back. And so they're just like, you know what? Forget it.
Can't rely on him.
Well, when you're back, when you're healthy, you let us know. Then maybe we might do something.
Second star.
Damian Harris. I thought he was great. I heard somebody say that his 32-yard run was the fastest ball carrier in the NFL on Sunday or this season, something along those lines. And it matches on film. He looks fast on film. He's physical. I love what they have going on with Damian right now.
Brandon Bolden. I know it kills you, but let me tell you that in retrospect, I figured out why Ramondre Stevenson didn't play in this game. The Patriots running backs had 36 touches. 36 touches are exploiting the Jets linebackers. No CJ Mosley in this game. They threw to him. They ran with him. The running backs are a big part of the offense.
Okay, third star there, Greggy.
Christian Barmore. I mean, I just think he, by the week, I think he's effective not only rushing the passer, but I think he's doing more and more against the run. And I think he's earned more playing time. And I think he played more this week, and he needs to keep playing more.
Just for you, big boy, Lawrence Guy. There I thought go. The interior of the defensive line was really good. To me, maybe their best game of the year. And no Godshaw a lot in this game, right? He didn't play all that much?
Yeah, a little bit.
Okay, so good. Keep them out of there.
There's your three up.
Barmore and Lawrence Guy are your fellas in there.
Okay, give me your three down now, please.
Jalen Mills. I think he had two penalties at least. I don't know. Now you're almost relying on him. You know, with Jonathan Jones going down, you're asking him even more of him. They're in a rough spot there.
Jalen Mills, he had one play. There was a little like wide receiver screen that he ran back and blew up. If you remember, he really lit a guy up the rest of the time.
That's what he's known for.
Yeah, he sucked other than that.
Second down.
Kyle Van Noy. He shows up once in a while against the run, but other than that, you know, and he'll pick somebody off for a stunt to give Christian Barmore a rush. But outside of that, he just doesn't do much in the games.
I went with the left side of the offensive line. I didn't think they were as good as Greg.
Did you hear that, Greg?
I still think Isaiah Wynn is so-so at best. He and Karras had a miscommunication. There was an overload on the left side there where the guy breezed in and jumped on Mac Jones's back. There was a holding call that got negated against Isaiah Wynn. I don't think the left side was great.
By the way, on Wynn, you know, I think there's been some talk about, oh, well, he took a step forward and he's looking more like a first-round draft pick this week. When the Patriots are helping out the tackles as much as they are, both guys, that means you don't have franchise tackles. Like, they get so much help, these tackles. It's unreal. And they need to start playing better, and we'll see this week.
Okay, third down, please.
So, this is a little bit tough.
Here we go.
Just real quick, it's Jonnu Smith, but he did well with the ball in his hands. I'm just saying, when I watch him on film, he just looks unnatural for the position. Like, he'll, you know, the ball's coming to him and he stops his feet. Or, you know, he's going out on a pass pattern and his feet are moving like 50 times a minute. Like, I think there's a reason why he was limited to like in the mid-30s as a pass catcher in Tennessee. Or that they didn't ask much of him and like Firkser, like, you know, jumped ahead of him in Tennessee. It's because he has a ceiling. Like, he's good with the ball in his hands. There's no question about that. But everything else, including his blocking, because he's given up the most run stuffs to me on anybody on the team, according to my stats this year, everything else is you don't know what you're going to get out of the guy, and I think he's tough to rely on.
Jonnu Smith, same guy. I had the same thing. 5 targets, he only had 2 catches. But more importantly, there was a play early in the game, sort of out in the flat on the right, where Jones put the ball out there for him, and Smith kind of, instead of running to the spot, turned around, turned the wrong way,
yes.
And then was all kinds of awkward going for it. It's never smooth.
No.
Ever. It's never, ever smooth.
On that play, I don't know what is. So he's going out, and it's almost like a flag pattern, like a corner. And Jones throws it up there, and instead of just turning his head and catching the ball here, he turns inside all the way around, and he's not even close to the ball.
He did. Like, he completely turned his body. It was horrible. Horrible. He looked like Murray out there, for crying out loud.
Okay, in this case, not
Seems
a good
mean.
Thing. Yeah, there's your three up, three down, presented by Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey. Your calls right after this.
It's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter.
Football season's back, and I got just the thing to make game day and every day even better. Cannabis delivery from LanternNow.com. With Lantern, I can get products from Boston's best dispensaries delivered the same day I order, so I spend game days with my buds instead of getting bud. Lantern's always a win because I can skip the trip, the traffic, and the line. Even better, Lantern Now delivers to all of Boston and beyond. So go to LanternNow.com/gym to get started and follow at GetLanternNow on socials to stay up to date on all things cannabis all season long.
Please consider responsibly. This product may cause impairment and may be habit forming. There may be health risks associated with consumption of this product. This product has not been analyzed or approved by the Food and Drug Administration. There is limited information on the side effects of using this product, and there may be associated health risks. Marijuana use during pregnancy and breastfeeding may pose potential harms. It is against the law to drive or operate machinery when under the influence of this product. Keep this product away from children. There may be health risks associated with the consumption of this product. Marijuana can impair concentration, coordination, and judgment. The impairment effects of edible marijuana may be delayed by 2 hours or more. In case of accidental ingestion, contact Poison Control Hotline at 1-800-222-1222 or 911. This product may be illegal outside of Massachusetts.
Analysis.
Forget about what's being said. Everyone's ripping someone for something somewhere.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
We saw some of the younger players and the newer players take ownership. There's a real question, I think, over the last few weeks internally in that organization about leadership and about whether or not older guys like Devin McCourty and Dante Hightower and Kyle Van Noy were getting through to the locker room. And I know that there were some newcomers who came into this place and sort of said to themselves, this isn't what I expected. This isn't what I thought the Patriots were going to be. And so seeing some young guys and seeing some new guys and seeing some guys who maybe weren't around for the championships take charge, guys like Mac Jones and Jonnu Smith and Damian Harris, I think was a very significant thing. So that's the biggest thing I think to take away for today. You know, you go out and you take a bad opponent and you bury them the way that they did. But I think the fact that some of those younger guys and some of the newer guys who weren't here for championships took lead roles was pretty significant.
More from Bert Breer. That was after the game now. And just sort of that thing inside the locker room. There's some sketchiness there. I definitely think there was. I think it was that was an undercurrent to last week and why Bill played it the way he played it. Trick plays on offense, all sorts of different looks on defense, continuing to throw deep into the fourth quarter to put 50 points on the board. He felt his team needed it, and they probably did. Let's see what sort of impact it has going forward this week. All right, back to your phones. Here's Joe in Melrose. Hi, Joe.
Hey, 4 points very quickly. How you doing, guys?
Four, quick.
Very quick. Dallas, bad choice. He shouldn't have went fourth, and he should have went fourth and fourth and three. Tampa, same thing. In overtime, Mac Jones, one pass, two runs, horrible. Josh McDaniels, he should be gone. Steve Belichick shouldn't be getting camera time. Jared Mayo, much better. And Belichick is going to be fired this year. Thanks.
The thing about too conservative against Dallas and, hold on, please, Dallas and Tampa, do you think, you know, he went for on fourth and one. Was that in the first half when he went for on fourth and one this game?
Yeah. Oh. Mr. Beer Muscles against the Jets.
Okay, well, go ahead.
I mean, it's ridiculous. I mean, he had chances to go for victories against Tampa and Dallas, fourth and three, and Belichick punted. I mean, he kicked a 56-yard field goal when you knew Brady was going to get the ball with two timeouts and shove it right down your throat. Then the fourth and three against Dallas, you knew that wasn't going to work out. And then all of a sudden, oh, now against the Jets, you're going for it and going for it before halftime too? I didn't know they were allowed to go for points before halftime with over a minute left.
That play frustrated me more because they converted it so easily. It was that little in and out that Myers
pick
ran.
Play.
Yep. Yes, yes. And Jones rolled to his right. It was an easy 3 or 4 yard gain. Easy.
We have got John in Connecticut. Hi, John.
Hey, Greg, so I just want to be clear. So are you telling me that the only way the Patriots can make it to the playoffs this year is if the rest of the AFC just sucks
Yeah, it's going to help. Jobs. It'll definitely help, yeah.
That will help, but no, that's not the only way.
Well, if you're saying 9-8 gets in, then the caller's right. It's because the AFC sucks, yes.
Yeah, I mean, you're pretty much saying that we don't need the next two games, which is ludicrous to me. I think we need any win that we can get at this point.
That would be nice. I think that the next 2 weeks are gravy, in my opinion, and I think they need to make
the next
hay
are
down
gravy.
The stretch. Yeah.
Greg.
Certainly the Panthers game is.
If they lose the next two games, they're done. It's over. It's finished.
Wrong.
Say what?
Wait. If they lose the next two games, wait how much path talk you do at the end of the year.
No. Well, just because I do the topic doesn't mean it's legit.
Doesn't mean I believe it.
Yeah, there's a difference between doing a show and content and, you know, reality. Like, if they lose the next 2 weeks, Greg, they're 3-6.
Yeah, so?
Well, then
the AFC is not that good this year. It's going to be a crap show down the stretch for playoff spots.
But you still got two with Buffalo.
Yeah,
hang on, let me look at their schedule.
Hold on, big of a crap show? That big of a crap show. Right now, if you want to play around with the path, you can do it. You're by a game out of the playoffs if you want to play that game. If they actually do this early, Cleveland's a 7 seed right now at 4-3. You're at 3-4. Tied with the Colts, the Chiefs, the Broncos, like, so it's not that clean, but just, you know, they are a game out. So, like, it's definitely there. If they get to their 10-11 wins, they're there. But to get to 10, they have to go 7-3 the rest of the way.
I think, you think they have to get to 10. I don't. I think they need to get to 9.
Okay.
With the right victories. That's what I think.
Okay. Well,
free to disagree.
All right. I disagree. The Chargers are one of the teams ahead of you at 4-2.
I want 10.
So, you know,
the Chargers are winning that division, aren't they? Them or the Raiders?
Are they? So you're writing off the Chiefs?
Well, no. The Chiefs are going to be one of those 9-8 teams. They're going to be in the fight, 9-8, 10-7.
So you already right now have the Chargers winning the AFC West and the Chiefs as a wild card.
I'd agree with that.
I wouldn't.
I don't. I'm not sure the Patriots are better than the Colts, for crying out loud. Like,
this is a winnable game. Win it. You have to win all your winnable games, because there are going to be games here where you're not going to win. So, you know, there's a slew of these that could go either way. That I could say, I don't know. I think this week's one of them. At Carolina, I don't know how you feel about that right now. I know Carolina's down, but what are you? Cleveland here. Tennessee here. Loss. The Buffalo games. Are those losses? At Indy.
Wait, did you say Cleveland here? Loss?
Did I?
No, okay. You said that could go either way.
I said Tennessee here, loss. I said Cleveland here.
That's not necessary. No, not necessarily.
Well, I'm saying is all there's a slew of games that are up in the air.
Mike,
right?
I'm not sure the game at Atlanta is a win. I'm not sure that game's a win.
If that's not a win, then we're wasting our time. It's over.
Look, I think this is moot. I already put money on the Patriots to win outright in against the Chargers.
Okay,
so I think they're going to win that game. But I'm saying if they lose the next 2 weeks, trust me, I'm coming in here and being like, yeah, they're still in this. I'm just preparing you right now.
If they lose the next 2 weeks, it's over.
No, it's not.
They're not going to run
the
table.
I hope they do lose the next 2 weeks, and then we see.
Yeah, okay.
They don't need to run the table, but they need to come pretty close. Yeah, but, you know, I told Cleveland, Atlanta, Tennessee, the Colts, yeah, they're going to need to do some damage. They're going to need to at least split with Buffalo down the stretch. That's it.
Okay. to me, a couple more losses here in the middle of the year and the thing's over. Adam in Ipswich. Go ahead, Adam.
Hey, you guys are talking about how Tennessee is a guaranteed like loss, basically, it seems like. But if you look at it, the Jets beat Tennessee and we slaughtered the Jets. Why is that a loss to us?
Oh, okay. That's a win then. It's a win.
Yes.
Yeah, hey, look. Hey,
I heard somebody on Twitter, too, about that.
They lost to the Jets and you blew out the Jets. Never mind. I'll take that out of the toss-up category. That's now an automatic for you. Got it. Because, of course, they had a hiccup against the Jets. You're now going to beat Tennessee. Got it.
It happens every year. Even the Patriots have crappy losses every year in the first half of the season, back when they were good.
This gets aggravating. You've got to get to 10 wins. If you think you got to get to 9, then you need help, man. You need a lot of help.
I'm just saying, 9-8 is going to get a spot in the AFC. I'm just telling you right now.
Jesse in Rhode Island. Go, Jesse.
Hey, do you think against the Jets, they'll just let Mac Jones loose a little bit because you figured, well, it's the Jets?
I don't think he let him loose at all, Jesse, until the score got out of hand.
And I don't think Mac Jones played all that well.
Me neither.
I didn't have him for a plus play in that game until his 3rd-and-10 scramble.
Wow.
And then in the first half. And then I had him for a couple plays. I mean, he missed Hunter Henry in the flat on that 3rd down. He had a throw behind Brandon Bolden in the flat. I had him for – Hunter Henry was open. He took a hit that he didn't need to hit where he was – He was hit while he was throwing.
Pressure came from the front
side. Yes, he should have seen that the whole way. And Hunter Henry released the ball, released the rusher. Mac Jones just could have flipped it to him, and it would have been a 20-yard gain. Instead, he held on to it, got hit, and he's lucky it wasn't picked off and returned for a touchdown. I did not think Mac Jones played well to the very end of the first half, but I will give him credit that from there on, he did play well.
Yeah, when there was a blowout.
Yep.
But the blowout, they got there by double passes and, just a crap ton of stuff to the running backs out of the backfield. A crap ton. And just because the Jets couldn't cover Brandon Bolden, you put up a lot of points. And, by the way, you kept throwing deep late into the game, which is how you got to 50. But I do not think they, quote-unquote, let Mac Jones loose in this game. I don't.
Nope, not at all. I mean, it looked like they were avoiding Mac Jones for at least the first drive. What else can we do to keep the ball out of his hands, keep him from getting his brains bashed in? And to the point where they had Kendrick Bourne throw to Nelson Agholor.
All right, let's pick this up after Murray's update. There are no commercials here. It's a long commercial-free segment. Greg will weigh in on the trade deadline situation of needs for the Patriots. Will they be in on anything in advance of the deadline, which is a week from today? So right to that after Murray's update. Again, no commercials here.
The beauty of business is its ability to solve human problems and to bring those solutions to scale.
Bentley University President Ela Brent Kreit explains how good business can make the world a better place.
Bentley is uniquely positioned to prepare students for a 21st century marketplace. The intersection of business and the arts and science is where magic can occur. That's what we do. That's what we bring to the table. And that's the difference at Bentley.